The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
My name is Luke. I am the pastor of worship and youth here at Summerside Community Church, and I am excited to be closing out this everyday worship habits. No, everyday habits of worship. Everyday habits. Yeah, everyday habits, right on the back screen. I always get the name of the series mixed up here. Everyday habits, habits that change us. And the reason I'm getting that mixed up really is because what I'm talking about today is the habit of worship. And really the habit of worship is kind of all the habits, okay? Worship is not just a couple things, a few things, it's everything. It's all these things that we've been talking about in this habit series. So I hope you're paying attention. Because, you know, I'm not very good at paying attention. So I want to make sure you're paying attention. And the thing is, I struggle with this. I'm glad I'm sitting here because, like, otherwise I'd be kind of all over the place. You know, I got to control the movements of my hands. And, you know, it's a lot of focus going on here. Trust me. I'm really focused in. I was recently at a restaurant with my wife, Becky. She's here. There she is. And, you know, when I'm at a restaurant, when you're on a date, what I've learned is that you want to be paying attention to the person that you're on a date with. That's usually the good thing, the right thing to do. But like, the waiter sits us down, and there's a TV over here, there's a TV here, there's a TV here, and if I turn my head, there's a TV over here, and this just isn't going to work. Like, it's just not. Everything is just distracting me from what's most important. And so I asked if we can move to the dining side, which we did, And if there's still a TV this way, and if I turned, I could still see. But, you know, I used self-control, and I didn't do that. We were also beside the open kitchen, which was very distracting. There's a brick oven, and I'm staring at it. And it's just, you know, I got to be focused on what's most important. And that's a lot similar. It's difficult to pay attention. It's difficult to have our attention on something. And it's even more difficult to have our attention on God. And worship starts with putting our attention and giving our attention to God and responding to Him. And worship transforms us by increasing our attention to God and decreasing our distractions from God. And in a world where there's so many distractions, there's so many things that can take our attention away, it's important that we learn to focus and increase our attention on God. So when we begin to dwell on God and His character and His attributes, it causes us to recognize His worth and majesty. And we worship Him by responding to Him. And that's what worship is. Worship starts with focusing our attention, our time, our energy, our heart, our soul, our mind, and strength on God. So today we're going to see how the habits of worship increase our attention to God and decrease our distractions from God. The English origin of the word worship is worthskype. Skype. Can anyone remember what that word? Remember that word? Did we use that word? Skype. Okay. For those of you who know, and I'm dating myself here a little bit, Skype was the video conferencing app that was used before Zoom and FaceTime and Messenger and all the host of things we now have available to us. Skype. We would say, "Hey, you want to Skype later?" Or was this just Skyping? It was a verb that we used. Etymologically unrelated to the word worship, but it reminds us that this time and attention that we have is FaceTime kind of with God. We can put our attention on God. And that was, I remember in the early dating relationship with my wife, we would Skype a lot in a long-distance relationship. And that was in time showing value to what we had in the relationship and growing together and spending time in each other's presence. And that's kind of what we're doing when we worship. We're spending time with God. We're having intentional focus with God and on God. So it's important to ask up front, why should we worship? And that's kind of like asking, to me, that's asking why we should drink water, why we should breathe. This is our purpose. This is why we were made. And it fulfills us as human beings by giving our focused attention to our Creator, the one who made us. And we should worship God because it's our purpose. God deserves our worship. We'll enjoy worshiping. And today we're talking about worship and that helps us grow. So worship also helps us grow spiritually. So how does worship help us grow? So we're going to look at Romans 12, 1 to 2. So if you take your Bibles, you can turn to Romans 12, 1 to 2. And this passage is usually like two passages, and you usually see them separately, like a memory verse for verse 1, memory verse for verse 2, and sometimes they're not together, but today we're going to look at them together, and we're going to see how worship's going to transform us through these passages. Let me read this for us. So this is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So I'm going to look at two things from this passage we want to take away that are going to point to worship transforming us and how it's going to increase our attention. So the first is worship involves our bodies and our minds. So it says to offer our bodies as living sacrifices and to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're both to offer our bodies and our minds and have our minds renewed. And it's interesting because it's not talking about the brain. The brain is kind of a mushy gray organ that's in your brain that's electronic things. I'm not a neurologist, so I don't know all that stuff. But I'm talking about the mind and consciousness. And there's a difference between those two things. Our culture tends to blend those two together. But our consciousness is separate from our mind. It's something that's different. That's what kind of controls and uses the mind. And be transformed by the renewing of our mind. This is something that is I want you to think of it as something different than our bodies. So a key aspect of our bodies and our minds are that you can change them with good habits. You can change them. You can change your body through diet and exercise. You can change, even your mind can be transformed, can be built as you train it. You can train your mind as well. In the same way, we can grow spiritually through our worship habits. And this change is also indicated in verse 2, but it's not always the change that we want. See, this is the second point I want to point out. We can either be transformed by the renewing of our minds or conform to the pattern of this world. So either one of those is happening. There's really no middle ground. And so we want to make sure, what's the difference maker there? How can we make sure we're being transformed rather than being conformed? And I think it's the practices of worship. Practicing the habits of worship. Offering our bodies as living sacrifices. Being transformed by the renewing of our mind. And this happens through the habits of worship. And they're going to continually increase our attention to God and decrease our distractions from the world. I mean, from God. So we're going to look at four worship contexts. These are the contexts for where worship takes place in our lives. And we want to be a part of all these four and practice worship in these contexts. That's going to help us increase our attention to God, decrease our distractions from God. So let's look at these four contexts. The first one is private worship. So there are times when we're by ourselves. Some of us, it's a lot of time. Some of us, it's not enough time. But we can use this time that we have to worship God and worship God in those moments when we're by ourselves. Jesus teaches that there's some practices that we should do in secret even, like fasting, and praying, and giving. Those are things that Jesus taught about in private worship. And Jesus himself practiced private worship by getting up early before it was even light out, finding a secluded spot, and this says in the Gospel of Mark and Luke, and spending time with God there. That's what he did in private worship. The Psalms refer to this practice again, but like laying on your bed or being in a quiet spot, being quiet before the Lord, being alone. And Daniel is another example that practiced private worship as well. So we don't just worship on Sunday. We worship in private as well. And a lot of the habits we've learned this week can be done on your own in private. So that's private worship. It's the first context. Second context is family or household worship. This is a lesser known and I think forgotten form of worship. Because as a society, we've placed worship kind of on Sunday or one day and that's kind of it. And we've got to seclude religion in its own spot. But there's a clear teaching in the Old and New Testaments that we should be teaching and training our children in the Lord. And about God. And the best way to do this is through family worship. And there's a great historical Judeo-Christian tradition going back thousands of years where family worship would be done every day, where there, God's people would sing, would pray, and read the scriptures together in homes. This is something that we've kind of lost. And I have a whole series on this online workshop on family worship. So if you are interested in learning more about family worship, this is something that I'm going to even redo again, and we're going to kind of continue to look at this topic at another time. But that's actually summersidechurch.ca/family-worship. You can actually check out all the videos, lots of content there for you to see. So if that's something that you need to engage with and you want to learn more about why to do it, how to do it, just check those out. I always like to point this out. Christmas is a time where we naturally, as in our traditions, do family worship. We will read the Christmas story. We'll sing it together. We'll sing carols together. And we'll pray together. This is something that we do pretty naturally at Christmas. And family worship, all that is just doing it all year. And who doesn't want Christmas all year round, right? That's what we sing about. So check that out for family worship, and we'll talk more about that. The third context for worship is corporate worship. And I'm not going to go into this too much either. We've talked about this in other sermons in this series. So make sure to check those out if you want to learn more about what corporate worship is all about, or you feel like that's somewhere you need to be challenged. Devin talked a lot about unity and the purpose of corporate worship. The fourth context is what I would call lifestyle worship. And that's what Romans 12:1 points to. It's like our bodies as living sacrifices. Because all the things that we do in our life can be worship to God. We can give God glory with our lives in the things that we do. And that's like things like obeying Him, things like serving others, loving others, in how we lead our lives and live our lives. Giving God glory in what we do and doing things in the name of Jesus, like Paul talks about. Actually, Devin had a sermon from Colossians as well. You can go back and take that out. Doing all things in the name of Jesus as well. So, lifestyle worship is not something that's easy, because it's a high calling. But through practicing the habits of worship that we're going to look at, we can increase our attention to God and decrease our distractions from God, and that becomes more feasible. And it's just continuing to grow in our attention span for spiritual things. And I think as we go and we start practicing these things, it becomes easier and easier, and we can kind of see that lifestyle worship kind of coming through. So I want you to keep these four contexts in mind as we kind of look at some specific worship habits that you can practice. And think about even like some of the other ones we talked about this week and where they fit. Not this week, this series, not this week. Okay, so we're going to look at three worship habits that increase our attention to God and three worship habits that decrease our distractions from God. So let's take a look at these. So these first habits are praise and adoration, joy, and gratitude. And it's important to think of these more of categories, and the habits are more specific things that you can do to practice these things. So they're kind of like meta habits, where they're kind of like big things that you can do, and you want to increase these to increase our attention. So the first habit is praise and adoration. And this is the typical understanding of what worship is, and I think that we could do a good job at this. Is like, you know, Christians, we worship God, we praise God on Sunday, and it's kind of the natural way that we think about worshiping. It's declaring about God, marveling in God's greatness, focusing our attention on His works and His attributes, and just praising Him. We can do it in more than just singing, though. We'll get into that in just a second. The next worship habit is joy. This is a commandment from God to rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Again, I say rejoice. And we can also, we often think of joy like an emotion that kind of happens to us, that we kind of happen upon the emotion of joy through an experience, and then we experience joy. But joy is actually something that we can experience. And through reflecting on the gospel, reflecting on the scriptures, reflecting on God, it can bring about joy in us. And we can rejoice in the Lord, and we can feel this deep sense of joy that comes with the good news. And the more we practice joy, the more we can experience joy. So something that we can hold on to through Jesus, through the gospel, and practice that. Another worship habit is gratitude. Similar to joy, gratitude is not just something that we experience, it's something that we have, we do. We can have gratitude. We have a whole day set aside on the calendar that's about giving thanks and having gratitude. Looking at all that God has given us, counting our blessings, and being grateful for what God has done for us. So that's gratitude. It's another worship habit we can practice. So we can practice these three habits that increase our attention to God in many ways. There's many ways that this can be practiced. Like, it could be simple things like going for a walk and just being intentional about praising God, giving him adoration for his creation, finding joy in who he is and being grateful. Like, those things you can do while going for a walk. You can do this by journaling, by writing about God's greatness, his goodness, reflecting on the gospel and bringing joy and having gratitude. All these things can be done in many different ways. And we've done singing, listening to joyful music, of adoration. We can practice these habits anytime. There's so many ways. It's just about, it's not necessarily a thing that you do, but an increase in our attention to God in the everyday. So we're just trying to just increase our attention. It's going to help to think of one practical thing you can do to increase our attention. Try to pick one of these three and then pick one thing that you can do to increase that in your life. So maybe that's like picking joy and be like, you know, I'm going to listen to joyful music at this time of the day. Or it's picking praise and adoration and making sure that you're, when you're going on your walk or your commute, you're just thinking about all the stuff that God has made and just praising him for who he is. Or it could be anything. It could be any one of these things. But you want to try to pick one. The next three are things that are usually done together. They're harder to do separately. It's not impossible, but it's hard to do separately. They're usually kind of lumped in as one. And so we're going to look at them as one. And these are silence, solitude, and stillness. And these are habits that are going to try to decrease our distractions from God. And this is really all about reducing the noise, reducing the activity in our lives to make room for God to speak to us and help us listen to God. Like I said, Jesus practiced solitude and silence and stillness before God, you know, and when he got up in the morning. And sometimes we need alone time. But we have to be intentional about making sure this alone time is not filled with distraction. It's not just on our phone or even reading a book or listening to something. This is like silence, solitude, and stillness is like nothing. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is focusing your attention on God. And this is very different from kind of a new age understanding of like emptying your mind. That's not the goal, is to empty your mind, because we want to be filled with truth of God and filled with God's scriptures and meditating on who God is. So it's not necessarily emptying your mind. You can maybe focus on, maybe some things need to be emptied out, but it's different than that. It maybe involves meditation, but it's just spending some time and inviting God to speak to you. You can even do things like, you know, Holy Spirit, speak to me, or inviting Jesus to be with you in those moments. Those are ways to be a little more intentional on that. But I think even just doing this a little bit, the thing is, this is super hard. It's very hard, especially in today's culture when we always need to be, I find it difficult just to eat without watching something. You know what I mean? I feel like I need to be consuming media all the time. So it's a good habit to just, you know what, I'm just not going to do anything. I'm just going to be like silence and solitude and ask God to speak to me and just listen and just be with God. And just, you can say, God, be with me. Or there's things that you can do to just get into that mode of just being still before God. And just maybe it's incorporating scripture reading with that, and then spending time reflection after. There's so many different ways, and it's like, it's what I'm going to challenge you later is for you to kind of figure out and map out your own plan for these habits. All right, so you know, these aren't the only worship habits for increasing our attention and decreasing our distractions, but they're kind of a good starting point. And like I said, this whole series has been about all these things that are doing this same thing. It's all about worshiping God, increasing our attention, decreasing our distractions. So make sure you reflect on what we've learned this week and try to put them into practice. We've looked today at like four different contexts for worship. We've looked at three increasing attention habits, three decreasing distraction habits. And here's my challenge to you as we wrap up this everyday habits that help us grow serious. I got the name right. That's right. I actually don't even think that's the right name. There's some debate on whether. Everyday habits that help us grow. There it is. So there's a new year ahead of us. This is a great time to get our habits and start new habits. And here's what I want you to do and my challenge for you. There's four challenges. They all relate to the different contexts of worship. So the first one is develop and maintain a personal worship routine. This is kind of how you grow spiritually, kind of one-on-one. Have some kind of personal worship routine. We've given you a lot of tools, a lot of things that you can do. And what you want to do now is think about, when are you going to do your private worship? Where are you going to do it? For how long? What are you going to do? Figure it out and write it down. you can put down a tailor-made plan for you. You can start small. Some of you already do this, like just some of you call it quiet time, devotions in the morning, whatever, or in the evening, or anything. Just have a plan. And what you can do, what's great about these habits is you can stack them. It's something called habit stacking, where you actually have one habit that you already do, or something that's really easy, and then you just be like, after I do this, I'm going to do this, and you add that to the list. And so you start doing things. You can do silence, solitude, and stillness after you do your Bible reading. You can do prayer. You can do so many things. You can read a hymnal. Something that I like to do is reading a hymnal and worshiping God through that. There's so many things that you can do to increase the intentionality, increase the attention to God. So have a plan. Think about what you're going to do. Write it down and try to make it happen. And this is something that we're supposed to do every day. You know, worship isn't like jogging or working out. You don't need a rest day. In fact, it's supposed to give you energy. It's supposed to bring life into you. So you don't need to take rest from it. You know, I'm really exhausted. You know what I mean? Sometimes, I mean, praying it really intentionally and can take a lot of work and energy. But we don't need rest from worship. We need, like, you know, Pastor Mark had a great sermon on rest. You can look at that as well. So there's lots of good stuff here. And we want to equip you to grow in these areas. Develop and maintain a personal worship routine. Okay, the next. Develop and maintain a family worship rhythm. Again, you can check out the online workshop for that, but you need some sort of plan for family worship. You know, I'm still working through this. I'm still continuing to build that intentionality. My wife is a great help in this area. But we just want to continue to just keep trying and just keep doing something, being intentional. It doesn't have to be formal. It's about increasing that intentionality. And for me, sometimes that looks like bringing out the guitar and singing some Christmas carols and use this time of year that's more natural to try to start those routines and habits. And don't wait until your kids are grown up to realize this is something that we wish, you know, we had done. Remember, keep it simple. Read together, sing together, pray together. Do those things, and that's family worship. Okay, be intentional on Sunday morning. This is the third challenge for you. You know, I didn't really get into it this week. There's so many biblical expressions of worship that you can engage in on Sundays. Postures and activities, the Bible talks about how we can worship God, you know, with our bodies. And these are music, singing, standing, clapping, shouting, dancing, raising hands, stretching hands, spreading hands, bowing your head. These are all expressions of worship in the Bible, and there's Bible passages for all these. And you can be a part of these activities on Sunday. And I think sometimes we wait until the moment hits us and strikes us in order to get into these, you know, postures of worship. But I think that because of the way that our minds and our bodies work, sometimes it's in acting in obedience and actually doing those activities first, whether it's singing or clapping or shouting. Sometimes it's those things that actually get us into growing in worship and experiencing God. So engage and be intentional on Sunday morning, in Sunday morning worship. You have an opportunity to do that even today. Integrate worship into your daily life. This is the fourth challenge. And this could look like being more grateful and joyful. Maybe it's not lined up with your private worship routine. It's just kind of more natural, and you're just trying to be more intentional, be more grateful, more joyful. This looks like giving God our attention and looking for Him working in the everyday. And giving God glory in everything that we do and making sure that we are doing what we are doing is going to honor and glorify God. This goes for how we live our lives in obedience, in love, and in serving others. And this honors and glorifies God as well in His worship to Him. So what we want to be doing is increasing our attention to God and decreasing our distractions from the world. And there's one thing I said at the end of the other service that I kind of remembered this morning. You know, recently we got a cat. Somehow, a cat lives in my house now. I don't know what happened, but someone brought a cat over and says, "Oh, you can just take it, watch it for a few days," and it just hasn't left. So we have a cat, and it kind of likes me. It likes me because I ignore it. Because it likes me. And it always kind of, it wants my attention, so it'll just throw itself on the ground and be like, meow, and then like want my attention. And God is not like a cat. God is not pining for your attention. I really want to make sure that that's not coming across. We want to increase our attention to Him, but God is not pining for our attention, looking for our attention, and needy for our attention like my cat, unfortunately, is. God, God wants you to have his attention on him because it's going to be beneficial for you. It's what you, how you were made. It's going to benefit you. It's going to help you to grow. It's going to make you alive and give you life, because that's what he wants for you. He wants what's best for you. So it's important not to think that God is really needs and trying to look for your attention. I thought about that this morning as I was looking at my pathetic cat, just trying to get my attention, just trying to meow. But I'm not a cat person, but I like my cat. It's fine. It's a new thing for us. So even with all the distractions and the distortions of this world in our lives, God still loves us, and he continually wants us to be closer to him in worship. And when God remakes the earth and calls us to himself as his children forever, all our distractions will fade away, and we will forever worship God, just like that song was talking about. And one day our full attention will be on God, and we can get a glimpse of what that will be like when we increase our attention to God and decrease our distractions from God with the everyday habits that help us to grow. Let me pray for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, and they're going to lead us out in worship, and I'm going to close this in prayer. So let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you for all the work that you are doing in our lives, and I pray that we would continually give you our attention because you deserve it, because that's our purpose, and that we're going to enjoy it, and it's going to help us to grow. And as you lead us to grow more and more like Jesus, I pray that you would be glorified in everything that we do. We would seek out ways that we can draw closer to you, seek out moments that are we can decrease our attention, decrease our distractions from you. And I just pray that you continue to lead us and guide us, and that you would be glorified and you would be magnified in our lives, and help us to seek out those moments that we can love you, worship you, and give you praise. I pray all this in the name of Jesus.